Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us on the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We have a special guest for you today. A good friend of our ministry is back, and I know you will be getting a lot of information that will bless you today. So get your notepad and pen ready, because these interviews go fast, and it seems like we just get started and it's already time to end anytime we talk with John Meacham. Now, John Meacham has served Christ Church as a Christian author, a lay pastor, supply preacher, elder, workshop leader, small group coordinator, Bible study instructor, Sunday school teacher, and as part of his church work, John developed a small group program entitled AIM and involved membership, and prepared a group study guide for the book, Is Your Church Heavenly? A Question from Christ for Every Christian. Now, John Meacham spent 8 days at the Sea of Galilee in 2005, and during this time, he received a new revelation from Christ that involved messages that spoke of the state of the seven churches in today's modern time. His previously released work, Is Your Church Heavenly?, details both his experience and the messages he received, and I recommend this book to you. Today, we are going to continue our discussion about the heavenly church, and it involves Jesus' messages to the churches today. Now, if you missed any of the previous episodes, go back and listen to them. This message is so important. The episodes you need to go back to in our archives is episodes 411 and 412, 435 and 436, and episode 443 and 444. Now, we don't have time today to go over all the information in those episodes, so I encourage you to go back and listen to those, as well as what John has to share with us today. Amen? Now, help me welcome back to the program our good friend, John Meacham. John, thank you for coming back on the program today and your willingness to share these important messages to the modern-day church, especially here in America.
Well, thank you again, Pastor Bob. It's always a pleasure to be with you, just to let you in on a secret you don't know. Well, maybe I've alluded to it. Every time I do an interview with you, I am literally consumed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it's happened again this morning. And, you know, that's such a blessing for me because, you know, in the life that we live, we're not often filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't do things that the Holy Spirit needs to indwell us. But when I talk to you, I do need to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And just wanted to let you and your listeners know that that is happening again today.
Praise God.
Want to let them know a little something, too, about my website, dazzlinglight.org, that you have been a wonderful addition to that website. If they'll go to dazzlinglight.org, and if they'll go to the page interviews, all of the interviews that we have done are listed there on that page.
There you go.
In addition to that, the page, The Heavenly Church, opens with the messages from Jesus to the churches in America from January 28th, of 2018. And I've actually, all of this work, Pastor Bob, has led me into a field that I know you're very good at, but I'm into technology now. I've got a YouTube on my website about Jesus' birthday is 9/19. I've got a YouTube about the 7-minute messages to the churches. And, oh my gosh, doing those YouTubes was quite a project, but, you know, the Lord has called me on the website. There's there's messages from Jesus. There's podcasts with you. There's YouTube. There's even an AIM Bible study that's a daily Bible study of five of the key New Testament passages. So it's all there, and I encourage folks to go there, but particularly related to your sermon, your interviews that we've done, the episodes. If they'll go to the Heavenly Church page, it opens with Jesus' 7 messages to the churches in 1:28:18, and then it kicks into my seven Heavenly Church sermons. Mm-hmm. And at the end of each of the sermons so far, there is a link to the interview page and our interview. So it's really, they can read the sermon itself, then they can take the link, go to the interview page, and listen to me talk and listen to your commentary on the sermon. So it's really quite a meaningful Christian experience now, yeah, thanks to you. And I even on the homepage, I even refer to Reverend Pastor Robert Thibodeau and the Freedom Through Faith Ministries and the interviews. So, you know, I want to credit you on air and your podcast for not only all that you've added to my life, but all that you've added to this Dazzling Light website, which I hope will enhance spiritual experiences for everybody that goes there.
Amen. Well, I do appreciate that. And that could be, I might be a bad influence if I got you into over in the technology.
Well, no, it happened years ago. I mean, the Lord keeps leading me into technology. If you want to know the truth, this whole YouTube thing, you know, my story about Jesus wakes me up at 2:19 with things to say. Well, not too long ago, he woke me up at 2:19 and said, "You got to do a YouTube." I said, "Oh, no, I'd never done any of that before at all." I don't know if you've listened to them yet, but they're very good. But what really surprised me was the Jesus' birthday is 9:19. The YouTube's only 2:35 long, but when I went from my phone where I recorded the original message onto my YouTube account, it took 20 minutes to upload, and I was just sitting there freaking out, thinking something's going wrong. And the first time through, I actually deleted it too quick. I had to do it again, and oh, technology. But yeah, it's just amazing how the Lord uses technology with me, with you, with millions of other people. I mean, yeah, I can reach millions of people with technology and face to face. I'll be lucky if I could ever reach 100. So it's quite remarkable, really.
Yeah, and you know, the internet today is kind of like what AM radio was, you know, 60, 70 years ago, and FM, you know, 40 years ago and stuff. You know, podcasting and the internet, that's how the world connects right now. And
YouTube and technology. I sent you a link the other day. I know you've had a tough time recently with the call the Lord's laid on your heart, and I know that's a struggle. And every day at the end of my devotional period, I listen to and watch YouTube by Hillside Worship. They're just so wonderful, and I sent you the link to the one Grace to Grace. I mean, it starts my day, these people. And, you know, when I first saw them, Pastor Bob, I thought, oh my gosh, there's thousands, 20 or 30 thousands of people there with their arms raised and the spirit filled, and you can almost see they're looking at Jesus. I said, where are they? You know, where in America is this happening? And I got the greatest enlightenment and disappointment. I scrolled down. They were in Sydney, Australia. They weren't Americans. They were Australians.
Yeah, well, as we said before, you know, the churches here, especially in America today, are just shells of what Jesus meant for the church to be. You know, I mean,
horrible. And that's what the whole Heavenly Church sermon series, and we're on the fifth one today, that's what's just so horrible. It's not, as I have in, and I'll read it later, but it said, you know, we'll work to restore the days of fellowship and faith found in the early church of Acts. It's just, it's not there anymore in this country.
Yeah, exactly. They're just basically social clubs with almost no biblical significance in American culture anymore. I mean, you see the lack of the church impact all over the church, or all over the news channels at night, you know, murder this and, you know, I mean, all this stuff going on. It's just, it's heartbreaking as well. But today we want to talk about demonstrating a living faith. What do you mean by that term?
Okay, well, let's just kick right in. All right. This is the fifth Heavenly Church sermon, and it is titled Demonstrate a Living Faith. And it's Jesus' fifth message to the churches in America from 1:28-18. And it opens with the message from Jesus. Jesus says, to the angels in the churches write, this is the message from the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Strengthen what remains. Remember my Father's holy word. Obey my teachings. Repent. For I am now calling you to prepare Christian churches for my second coming. Christ now seeks Christians who will expel hypocrites from many of the church's best pews and will work to restore the days of fellowship and faith found in the early church of Acts. What this is about, Pastor Bob, it is a wake-up call to Christian churches. Jesus says, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, my most vivid memory of Jesus when he stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and motioned to Thomas, Nathaniel, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, me, and my brother James to come in from fishing on Lake Tiberias and join him for a breakfast of bread and fish. Now, this is the story that starts the beginning of the end there in chapter 21 in John, and it's a, give you a little inside information here, you and your listeners. As I've revealed on my website, I am John the Apostle, called for at the end of this particular chapter to be here waiting for Jesus when he returns. And this fishing story is the story where we caught the 153 fish, and the 153 fish is to designate all the nations in the world at that time that the message was going out to them. But for us in the boat, it was really a lot simpler than that. Well, it says seven people are in the boat, but it only names five of the names, and I wanted to let you know who the other two folks were. It was Andrew and Matthew. We're not listed, but they were the other two. Now, you know, Andrew, he was a fisherman like Peter and James, my brother, and I, but Matthew was a tax collector, and he was absolutely worthless in a fishing boat.
Sounds like
But we were so scared. I mean, you got to remember, Jesus was just crucified. All the Romans were in arms against us. All the Jews were in arms against us. And we were terrified. But there we looked on the shore, and we saw the resurrected Jesus. And actually, the place that Christ stood is beside the rock at Mensa Christi, and not far from the earthen stone stage in the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. Where in my third dream of Jesus' second coming, I saw Jesus return to this stage, and I visited in 2005 to write the book, as you referred to it, Is Your Church Heavenly? Now, the main theme of that book is it sets up seven characteristics of a heavenly church, and we're talking about them in these podcasts that we're doing. As you said, this is our fifth podcast about demonstrating the living faith. Well, just to catch the folks up to date, the four that we've done so far is we did surrender to Jesus, strive for spiritual riches was the second characteristic, fight against false teaching was the third, and practice intolerance of sin was the fourth.
Yeah.
Now, I've mentioned to you many times how much I enjoy these interviews with you. Of those so far, the surrender to Jesus, strive for spiritual riches, fight against false teaching, and practice intolerance of sin, which of these meant the most to you when we did it together?
Oh, gosh. The one that I think had the most was the surrender to Jesus, because that's, to me, that's the central key issue, that's the message. You have to surrender to Jesus.
And I think, you know, to kind of step off of that a little bit, that's where this whole changing Christmas, really changing Advent from December to September, to bring Jesus out of that whole secular Christmas thing and bring him in September, make Christmas like Easter, or really make Advent like Easter. You can have the four Sundays culminating with the last Sunday in September as the Christ Sunday, but leave Santa Claus in December 25th. Leave the Christmas trees. Leave all the gift exchange. Leave Cyber Monday and leave Christmas card debt. Leave all of that there to remain to where Constantine put it. And let's focus on Jesus. I go to a church called the Point Church, and the whole theology of that church is pointing people to Jesus. Well, let's point people to Jesus and relieve them of the burden that society is, and really the economy has put on them. And, you know, I think you're right. And for me, it was made most vivid in my second dream of Jesus' second coming, occurred on 6/21/84 at my home on Wild Leaf Court. In this dream, I waited in the front yard and looked into a cloudless blue sky to see Jesus, dazzling white and riding on a gray cloud. As in my first dream of Jesus' second coming, he was gigantic, and I was terrified. But rather than waking in fear like I'd done the first time, I braved my fears and watched Jesus shrink to normal size as he moved closer to earth. When he landed near the dogwood tree, I knelt on the ground and looked up into his face, which still glowed with the lights of heaven. Jesus walked to my side, placed his right hand on my shoulder, and said, "Do not be afraid. I have work for you to do."
Amen.
Now, Pastor Bob, as you know, I have been working for Jesus ever since I was born again on 10/24/82. But I've been lucky. I'm like Paul. I'm a tent maker. Working for Jesus has never been my vocation. My vocation for my whole life has been as an accountant, and I love accounting work, as John Meacham, and it just really has provided a wonderful career for me. But my avocation is John the Apostle working for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's something about that that really has been troubling me recently, and I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about it, if you don't mind.
All right.
I send, well, you get my email that I send every morning.
Every day,
I send it to about 250 Christian media people and church pastors. Now, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I'll ask you if you agree with me or not. Those people would not have jobs if Jesus Christ was not born, lived, died, and raised from the dead.
That's
Do you agree with me that all those people wouldn't have jobs had it not been for Jesus?
That's right. Amen.
But none of them recognize him as their employer. None of them recognize any obligation to Jesus Christ. None of them will reply to me. None of them will do anything. The only thing they ever do is ask to be removed.
Right.
What is wrong with these people that work for churches, that work in the Christian media, that work in all of the Christian industry as it is now?
Yeah.
Why don't they realize they're working for Jesus Christ?
Well, that goes back to something you said before about the church is mostly filled with hypocrites today. I mean, that's a powerful but 100% accurate term. So explain to those who may be wondering if they're a hypocrite or not. How can they know? And that's one clue that you just said right there.
Well, you know, hypocrisy is an interesting word, and I'll be honest with you. I do a ping pong some with the word hypocrisy, because it means to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna be real honest with you, Pastor Bob. I get to the point sometimes I'd rather have somebody acting like Jesus than sitting there like a knot on a log doing nothing.
I'd rather have them be honest and say, you know, I don't really know if I believe this stuff or not, than pretending that they do just to get along. You know, because if they come right out and say, I just don't know if I understand this or believe it or not, at least you know where you're going to try and make an impact. But, you know, if they do all, you know, check the block, say the right things, but in their heart they're still completely lost. I mean, that's where I was for years and years and years before I got born again, thinking I was okay. But if I'd have died, then I would have found out real quick I was not okay, you know? And, you know, so
that's that's a very profound thing you're saying. And I think you really go back to a problem that you and I have discussed. And it's really bigger than the pastors in the pulpits. It's bigger than the people in the pews. It may be the biggest single problem in all of Christianity in America today is the lack of people who are born again.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see this kingdom of God unless you're born again. Jesus told Nicodemus three times, "I am telling you the truth."
Mm-hmm.
If this doesn't happen, you just don't see it. And, you know, if we line up a thousand people from the pulpits and people from the pews, my guess is less than 9 or 10% of them would actually be able to, as you do, January the 25th, 1992, and as I do, October 24th, 1982, would be able to tell the day we were born again what happened, and most importantly, what you just said, Pastor Bob, that our lives have been different since that day. We have been involved in the kingdom of God. And, you know, I guess people are just too consumed with this world. And let me, before we get too deep into that again, because we've been down that rabbit hole a bunch of times, let me jump into the next paragraph in the sermon.
All right.
In my memory of Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and in my dreams of his second coming, he was always dressed in this white robe. I often wonder if Yeshua will want me to take him to Tiberias and buy some clothes when he returns. Now, a couple of things to let you know. At the Sea of Galilee, which is a wonderful place, I have never felt as physically close to the Lord as when I went there. Tiberias is the only main community, and it's basically, it is on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. And then at the northeast corner is where this earthen stone stage is. It's where we had that last fishing expedition and all of that. Now, as in all the dreams and visions I've seen of Jesus, he's got this white robe on. So I keep wondering, is he going to want me to buy him some clothes? Now, in this particular paragraph here, it's one of the few times I did it, but I intentionally used Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, because that's what his mother called him. That's what the people of our day called him. And he's already let me know that when he returns, he wants to be called Yeshua, because that's his name. He's Yeshua the Messiah. Joshua was the first translation of Yeshua. That went into the Greek. Yep. And then Jesus is the predominantly known name for Yeshua in today's world because it's the English.
Right.
But I think we need to realize that when he comes back, that God is going to be incarnate again. And I need to let folks know, and I haven't talked about this much, and this is actually the only time I've let these words come out my mouth. When you see him, the power and the glory that emanates from him as a person walking around the earth is immense. It's enormous. I mean, you can see from 1,000 yards away, there's something different about that guy. That's why everybody came up to him. That's why they touched his robe and they were healed. Is the power and the glory coming off of his presence is enormous. But for right now, my plan is to take Yeshua to the Church of the Multiplications of the Loaves and Fishes, which is also on the northeast, on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and ask the priest and the nuns that live and work at the church to help in Christ's care. Now, here, Pastor Bob, is a critical turning point in the message here on this. In this fifth sermon, I ask, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
Can I call on you and your church to help in Christ's care when Yeshua returns? For today, Yeshua reminds us that I am your brother, and I will see you face to face when I return to the earth and stone stage in the northeast corner of Sea of Galilee at 3:51 p.m. on 9/19. Pastor Bob, do you think anybody's ready for Christ to return? Do you think anybody's ready to meet Jesus face to face? Do you think anybody's ready to hear the words of Yeshua on earth again?
I think there are some who are ready. Whether or not they are prepared, those are two different things. When I was in the military, and you're going to have an inspection, so your unit is standing, you know, at attention, waiting for the commander to come out to do the inspection, you would never say ready for inspection, because that means 100%, nothing wrong, you know, everything is perfect. And if he found something, that means you just lied to him when you said you are ready for inspection. So the correct terminology was, you know, first platoon prepared for inspection. So say there's a different meaning there. I mean, we're ready for you to take a look at us. So as
I
someone
think that's
ready,
a great analogy
no.
To what I'm saying,
yes.
And I hope you'll let me use that, because that's what I'm calling people do, is to join the armies of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember seeing the charge to the armies of heaven, but it's to prepare.
Exactly.
To prepare the way for Jesus' second coming.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor Bob, there's only one person that knows if he's going to be there that day and at that time or not, and that's God.
Yeah, exactly.
And you and I both know that. But, you know, we have a good friend in Christ, also a member of the armies of heaven, a soldier in the armies of heaven with us, Helen Cook.
Yep.
Helen Cook knows that if God tells me, if God tells John to do something, John will do it.
Yeah.
So I know I have to be standing there on that earth and stone stage at 3:51 p.m. on 9/19, and it's a year not in the too distant future. I've been told, let's don't put the year out there anymore, John, at least not yet. But I got to be standing there. And I know that for a fact. Whether Jesus actually comes that day, that's not on me.
Yeah.
I just have to be there. But, Pastor Bob, I cannot tell you how much I'm looking forward to going back to Galilee. Oh, I loved it there. Now, I don't know if you realized all this. I need to correct something you've been saying, and I did recount it on the calendar. I was there for 9 days.
Oh,
and,
okay,
you know me with the number 9 and 19, so I double-checked. Not 8 days, but 9 days.
All right.
But it's such a glorious place, and I felt so close to God everywhere I went. But the most memorable moment, and probably the only physical memory or physical memorabilia I have from all of my divine revelations, and I'm sure you've read them all, and there's a bunch of them, happened to me when I went to this chapel that's on the Mount of Beatitudes. Now, the Mount of Beatitudes is the place where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, and the Catholic Church, praise God and thank whoever for the glory of maintaining these wonderful places in Galilee, because if it wasn't for the Catholic Church, they wouldn't be there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They've built this really wonderful little chapel. And the day I went up there, and this is a line out of one of my books, it was another glorious day in Galilee. I mean, you were walking through the steps where Jesus had walked. You'd look down on the sea and the breeze, and it just took my breath away.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode and interview with John Meacham. This is the fifth message that the Lord gave John to share with the modern churches, especially those in America, but whole worldwide. And we're talking about demonstrate a living faith, demonstrating a living faith. And John is sharing with us the importance of that message. We're all out of time for today's episode. You need to come back tomorrow and catch up to hear the conclusion, because it just gets better. I am telling you, you do not want to miss tomorrow's episode where we conclude this session with John Meacham. So be sure to come back. If you missed any of the prior episodes, go back and listen to them, because they're great as well. But we'll see you tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.